with each of you in Jesus' name. It's a beautiful Lord's Day morning. Blessed opportunity to be together, to worship together, hear from the Word, hear from His Word together. The blessing of being gathered in Jesus' name. Think about that this morning. A privilege to be gathered in the name of Jesus. It's no higher name, no greater name, no more blessed name, no more worthy name. There's no more holy name than the blessed name of Jesus. Does that encourage you this morning? Be part of Him. Be part of one who is eternal, is holy. Just want to thank the others for sharing this morning. It's a blessing. Just blessed with those thoughts. Just thank you, brothers. maybe we could just stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, and we do worship you, Father. We know, as was shared already this morning, that you know us, Father. You see us clearly. We hide nothing from you, Father, and we don't desire to hide anything from you, Father. And this morning, we just worship you and ask you to be here in our midst, ask you to speak to us, Father, through your word, and pray that you would put together, Lord, this few thoughts that I have, that you would speak to our hearts and minister to us, Father. And I pray for your blessing upon our assembly this morning. Pray that you could be lifted up, we could be drawn closer to you, we could learn of you, we could aspire after you, Father, and we could again, maybe afresh and anew, as we heard, present our bodies as a living sacrifice before you. Let's pray, Father, you minister to each soul. We love you this morning. We are here because of you and for you. We're here because you called us. We're here because you have worked in our lives, and you've drawn us, Father, in so many different ways, and in your love and in your care, you've done great things in our lives, Father. This morning, we just want to thank you, and I want to thank you for each one who's here this morning. Pray your blessing upon every soul, Father. We pray that you'd impress upon us the the brevity of life, the realities of life and death, Father. Touch our hearts this morning through your word, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5. We've been preaching here from the book of John, and I'd like to read chapter 5 this morning. Realize that we'll be focusing mainly on one verse, and it's kind of a lengthy chapter, and yet I think we'll take time to read it because there are various thoughts we'd like to get from the chapter, and so in order to get the context, it seems like we'll take time to read it. I wasn't sure if I should, but I think it'll be a blessing. Maybe we'll, after we read it here, we'll share a few thoughts. So John chapter 5, Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus that had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done those things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered him, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Son, the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he beareth witness of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness to the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent him, ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. For if another will come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For if ye had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? know that's a lot of reading there. Hopefully, as we go through this, it'll be a blessing to have read all of that. The first part there, I was thinking about that impotent man and the fact that he had spent many years, he had for many years desired help for his situation. He had for many years desired to that someone would help him and that he could be healed and he could be made whole. And he had for many years, but he had no one to help him. And I believe that that's much the case today. There are many today who would desire to know God. There are many desire today that live in darkness and live in superstition and various belief systems, and they would desire help, and they lay there for year after year after year, and there's no man to help them to Jesus and help them to find help. But this message that I'd like to share today, maybe a little teaching. As I was reading through here and as praying, asking the Lord just for a burden, what His burden would be, what I should focus on. I know there's a lot here, and I won't be able to share on all of it. And so I'd like to share maybe the focus of the message today would be in verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. So I'd like to write a title up here. This will be the title. Realize that when we preach on Sunday morning, we preach to a somewhat mixed group of people. We have children, we have older people, we have Christians, maybe some who are not. We have various people listening, and so we may say things that many of you know. We may say things that are not new to many of you. We gather on Sunday morning to worship, to lift up the name of the Lord. We gather for discipling. We gather for exhortation, to exhort one another. We also gather to encourage one another and prepare one another for the work, the warfare that we engage in from day to day and from week to week. And so we pray that in some way what we share today would be a blessing, maybe to all of us in some way. Brother Solly shared this morning about a people that honored the Lord with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. I think we find that, we see that in this chapter. We see a people that were sure that they were serving the Lord. They were convinced that they were God's people. And yet, when the Lord came to visit them, they didn't recognize Him. They didn't recognize the truth of which He spoke and that He endeavored to show them. The verse here, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent Him. Jesus here, speaking to the Jews, and they were in a difficult situation in a sense. You can understand a little bit. They had Moses and they had the law, and they had the
they were God's people and they had what was known as truth up to that time. They had it. And here's a man complaining, professing to be the Son of God. And so you can understand a little bit what their conflict was. But there's still warfare today around this truth of who Jesus was. There's still warfare today around this truth. It's still a conflict today. Who is Jesus Christ? There's still people today that give their lives. They die. They have their heads cut off. They are put in prison. They are tortured. They are for this truth, because they believe that Jesus was the Son of God. We live here in a pretty peaceful situation. But today, more than in any time before, people are dying, giving their lives for this truth, because they believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And they give their lives for that. Our title, Jesus, the Head of Man, we find that in, you're familiar with that, I know, but in 1 Corinthians 11, we find that. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And we see that in this passage. We see that in verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And that all men should honor the Son. All men. So I pray that maybe the burden of what's on my heart here will come through. But we live in a day of religious confusion. And I think God would want us to keep it simple. I have a burden, you know, I have a burden for our young people and our children. In this way, many are falling into deception. There are over a billion, I believe, people in the world today that would profess that Jesus was just a prophet. He was not the Son of God. And they kill people, they literally kill people for that truth, for that profession. And so that's the world in which we live. There are many more people in this world, and we face that influence, who will say that Jesus is one of the ways to God. There are other ways to God. There are many other people, perhaps very more, much, maybe more close to home, who have a more of a superstitious belief in God, where God's will is kind of unclear and it's vague, and it's more of a good luck thing, and we kind of hope that's what God wants. We're not sure what God wants, that's not what the Scripture teaches, and so we'd like to just share a little bit on that this morning. God has told us clearly what He wants. God has told us clearly that it's His will that all men would honor the Son, that all men would come under submission to, and come under the authority of, and reverence and honor His Son. God has made it very clear that if it doesn't honor Jesus, He's not pleased with it either. God has made that very clear. It's not. He doesn't want us to be confused about it. He doesn't want us to be confused about that we can't come to God in any other way. We can't come to Him in any other name. He doesn't accept it. It doesn't work. We can't come in the name of a church, in the name of a denomination. We can't come and say, well, these were my parents, and therefore I should have access here. Background, as beautiful as it may be, is not what God is looking for either. There's another way to look at this, and that is that God, in his brother Brian was sharing here, about the fall of man and about sin entering into the world and death by sin, and so, and therefore death has passed upon all men, as we heard We're all in that fallen world and in that fallen state. God, in His wisdom and in His love and His mercy, made for us a very simple way, and Him providing everything necessary that man can come to Him. That man can come to Him. God providing all of that. In verse 24, Jesus said here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." He that heareth my word, I realize that we understand here that this hearing is, as Brother Solly shared today, that it's not just a hearing with our ears, but it's a believing hearing. It's a hearing with an intent to obey. It's a submissive hearing. There's a humility in that hearing. This man who had this great need, and the Lord said, "Take up thy bed and walk." It's that kind of hearing. He proceeded to do just that. It's that kind of hearing. It's not a casual hearing or a half-hearted hearing that we just hear and then we walk away and forget what we've heard. It's a hearing unto life, that I really need what's being that word from the Lord. So, elect, as we share here, realize that we live in a world, like I said, of religious confusion. There are many roads that lead to God. And it's not true. It's not true. So I'd like to share here a little bit this morning. How did Jesus get this position? How did he come into this place where the God of heaven said, all men should honor him? All men should honor the Son. All men should look to him. All men should, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." How did he get into that position? Why is he there? Do I see him that way? Here's a question. Do I see him that way? Jesus is the head of man. The word the head of man is when we talk about heads of businesses or heads of branches of the government or the head of whatever organization or whatever, but it means that he's at the top of it. He is the authority of it. He is the one that has the say in the matter, right? I mean, everybody says their piece and everybody gives their opinion and everybody says what they think, but at the end of it all, there's someone who says, "This is how it is." And so there's one who God has set as the head of man. Christ is the head of man. Really? Final authority. What he says, that's good enough for me. Christ is the head of man. If he said that, if he said it, then that's what I believe. How did he get this position? We can read in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He was equal with God, the scripture says. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death." Is that obedience that Brian was talking about? "Even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We read here that he humbled himself. He came to earth. He gave his life. And the scripture would teach us in other places that he did that because he loved. As he looked down across mankind, he loved man. And he, the scripture would teach us in Isaiah, I believe it is, Hebrews, quoting from Isaiah, I believe, that he said that he volunteered. That he says, lo, I come, I will go. That he volunteered. That he gave. It doesn't seem to me that he was asked to do it. It seemed like he volunteered, like he gave. Like he said, I'll go. And it says here, wherefore, because of this, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. Every knee will bow. Every knee of things in heaven, the angels bow. The seraphim, they all bow at the name of Jesus. Things in earth, things under the earth. I don't know what's under the earth. That says things under the earth bow. And we'll read also in Ephesians here. I want this to, these are not new things, I believe, to most of us. But as you interact with people, as you talk to people, as you go about your life, I think it's good for us to meditate on these things, and hopefully it'll be a blessing in just how you see people. God would have each one of them to bow to Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:18, we'll read here, of the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. I'm reading in Ephesians chapter 1, ready for verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse 20 says, which he wrought in Christ. Verse 21 says, far above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not just a little bit above, but in God's view, in God's perspective, far above. Way above. Every principality and power and might and dominion, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. It will always be that way. It's never going to change. This morning we can serve the King who will always be the King. In that world to come, he will always be the King. He will always be far above. Think about that this morning. He's like far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And I wonder, I look at my life and I wonder about all the things that I fear sometimes. How much fear should we have? How much fear should we have? I think the only thing we should fear is that we somehow would get out of his will. I think it's the only thing we should, that's the only thing we really need to fear, is that we somehow would not be in his will. And somehow we'd do something. This passage tells us that he gave him to be the head over all things to the church. And so he's the head of the church. First Corinthians 11 tells us that he's the head of man. Christ is the head of man. Men don't all know that. Men don't all recognize that. But in the church, we believe that. We recognize that. We live that way. We have the blessing of having him be our head. Many people won't find out till later.
who their head was, who their authority was. Back to John chapter 5 here. Jesus said in verse 32, he said, "There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true." And these people had some of them at least had heard this witness where God spoke from heaven and said that, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Some of them had seen that, not all of them. In verse 33, he says, "John bore witness of me." John witnessed as to who I was. You know that. He said, John the Baptist had witness of me. In verse 39, he told them that the Scriptures bear witness. So that we have a people here that were without excuse. They had the Scriptures. He said, "For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So it teaches us here that the knowledge of the Scriptures doesn't save us. Knowledge of the Scriptures is a step towards salvation. Knowledge of the Scriptures does not in itself save us. But he said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." It's coming to Jesus. It's coming to him is where we find life in giving up our lives. Coming to Jesus, giving up, produces life. I believe that many people will be one day find condemnation coming upon them because they did know the Scriptures. Because they did know the Scriptures. He said that here in verse 46, "For if ye had believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." If you would actually have believed what Moses said, you would have come to me, because in verse 44 here, we'll move on. He asked a question that I'd like to talk about just a little bit here. He asked a question: "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" One of the great hindrances, I believe, it goes along with the verse here, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. "He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him." One of the things that hindered them, and it does, and it still works that way today, in religious systems, in various belief systems, and we all deal with the desire, the pull of the flesh, the desire to be honored of men. And we simply do what we do that men would honor us, and men would think highly of us, and men would lift us up, and men would think that we're somebody somehow. And Jesus said, "How can you believe? How can you have faith?" He said, it will never work. To be highly esteemed among men, to be honored, to be highly thought of. That's the root. That's the root of peer pressure. It's the root of many people's decisions. It's why they do what they do. It's why... and he said, "How can you believe? How can you have faith in me?" That all men should honor the Son. That all men should humble themselves and come to a place where it's not about themselves anymore, but it's about him. It's about the Son of God who gave his life for us. There's a right place for caring that we don't cause others to stumble. There's a right way to be concerned about what others think. And we ought to be concerned that our lives don't dim the light. We ought to be concerned about those things, that we're not a hindrance to someone else. But we should never be seeking the honor of men. And desiring that men should somehow think well of us and be lifted up, as we heard about this morning.
honoring him with our lips, but our hearts far from him. We should never allow others, the fear of others, keep us from living out the teachings of Christ. So what does it mean practically? What does it mean in a practical way? I just like to share, and know the message will be a little short here this morning. I know some of us wanting to go to the ordination service. But what does it mean practically? God has given Christ. God has given Christ authority over man. We're under his authority. All authority has been given to him. We are under his authority, whether we recognize it or not, whether we believe that or not, whether we think that way or not, we are under his authority. And if we don't submit ourselves to it, if we don't yield ourselves to it, if we don't humble ourselves under that authority, we're a rebel. We may not think that way, we may not know that, we may not feel that way, we may think that's not our intent, but in God's eyes, that's who we are. Because he has given Christ to be head over man. And he gave his life to earn that position. He didn't do it to earn a position, but to he's in that position. He's in that position because of what he's done, because he gave his life for us. But is it possible that we look at it all wrong, and that somehow that's something that I feel like maybe I have to do? It's a blessing to have someone over in authority over me. Because when someone's in authority over me, that means they're responsible. They're responsible for me. And it's a beautiful thing. As our head, as my head, and he's already proven that he cares for us. He's already shown, he's already demonstrated that he cares for us. It's for our good. Anything that we do according to his will, he's responsible for the outcome. You ever think of it? Anything we do according to his will, he's responsible for the outcome. I don't have to worry about that. I only have to worry if it's according to his will and seek his will. He's responsible for the outcome. He's responsible for the provisions to do that. He's responsible for the provisions to do that. I'm not. It doesn't have to come from me. We're responsible to abide in him. But as we abide under his headship, he protects, he provides, he guides. You know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing for a child to be able to say, well, that's what daddy told me to do. Real simple. That's what dad said. If you don't like it, you can talk to him. That's a blessing. Isn't that a blessing for a child? That's a blessing for any child to be in that place. Dad said I may do this. So I don't really care if you say so or not. Dad said I can do this. Freedom. Freedom. Dad said I may not do that, so I won't do that. What a blessing for a child. Hope you're making the connections here. But there's a freedom from worrying about how it's all going to turn out. Dad said I can do this. He's responsible. Someone else, giving someone else the responsibility for my life. That's the way it is when we abide in Christ, when we abide in him. You know, a wife can do that. She can say, well, let me ask my husband. Whatever he says, that's okay. Because then he's responsible. Then he's responsible for it. Now, wives assume responsibility and all that, but if you get the point, he's our head. He wants to be that for us. He wants to be that for us. Employees do that. They do that all the time. They just do their job. It's not really their job to figure out if the company's going to make money, or they're just responsible to do what they're responsible to do. The rest of the worries, the sales, the all of that stuff, that's up to somebody else. Employees do that all the time, and they find great freedom in it. Some of you are self-employed, so you don't have that liberty. But they find great freedom in that. There's someone else takes care of it. That all men should honor the Son. God desires that it would just come down to a very simple thing for us. It's our privilege. It's our privilege to allow Him to be responsible for the future, for my family, for my work. He's responsible. He's proven His care for us. Is He your head today? He is. He is. Are you allowing Him to be that for you? Verse 25 says, "Verily, verily, 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 I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. As for as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." That's speaking about here. That's speaking about here. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. When the dead shall hear the voice that says, "Come to Me, I'll take care of you, now and forever." When those who are dead in sins, those who are dead in and lost in sin and not knowing which way to go, not knowing the what to do with our lives, hear the voice of the Son of God speaking to their hearts, "Come to Me." Just simply, "Come unto Me." And they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And He gives that life to those who receive Him. To as many as receive Him, to them gives He power to become the sons of God. Are we hearing His voice? Are we coming to Him? Are we allowing Him to be what He would want to be for us? Verse 28, verse 28 speaks about something else. Verse 28 speaks about the future. Verse 28 speaks about the future. It says, "Marvel not at this." He said, don't marvel at this. He said, speaking of the verses that we just read, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 28 says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." He is our head. He is our head, and because of that, He is also in charge of our resurrection. He is our head. He is the one. He is the one. It is at the hearing of His voice, at the trump of God, when the trump of God sounds and the Son of God descends with a great shout, and the sound of His voice, all that are in the graves will come forth. Those that are in the depth of the sea, those that are in the millions of graveyards in across the world, those that are in mass graves in that people have never even found, those whose bodies have been eaten by fish at sea, those whose all will come forth at the sound of His voice. All will come forth. And there will be two resurrections. There will be two resurrections. There's going to be the resurrection of life. Those who will be resurrected unto eternal life. And there will be those who are resurrected unto damnation. They never submitted to their head. Never found a place of submission. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you think of when you hear that voice? Is it a voice that you've heard before? That voice that says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Will it be a voice that you've heard before? Will it be a voice that you recognize? Will it be a voice that is friendly towards you? Or will it be a voice of the judge? of all the earth. What voice are you expecting to hear when you're raised from the dead? He is the head of man. Therefore, he has the authority to judge man. He has the authority to judge man. That's what we're looking forward to. We look forward. You know, there's... Maybe this seems heavy this morning. But you know, truth is reality. Many times we're not living in reality. We're living in, you know, the sun's shining and the grass is green and things are pleasant and we've got plenty of food and life is good. And we're not thinking about dying and being raised from the dead and meeting God. But that's reality. This is passing away. That's reality. This is passing away. Before our very eyes, it's just passing away. Which resurrection? Will it be the resurrection of life? Will it be the resurrection? It says here, to those who have done good. Good, in the context here, good is a submitting to Jesus Christ. Good is hearing His voice and coming to Him. Good is submitting to Him, honoring Him, as it says here. What does it mean to honor? What does it mean to honor Him? I was thinking of that this morning. What does it mean to honor Him? That all men should honor the Son. Is that important to you this morning? How important is it to me that the Son of God is honored with my life? Where does that rank in priority to me? Where does that rank? Is his work on the earth, how important is that to me? How precious is that to me that He came and gave His life and shed His blood and died to make an atonement for my sins? Do I honor Him for that? Do I worship Him for that? Do I even care? Have I thought about that? How much do I think about that? Do I honor Him? Do I honor Him for His word? Do I honor His word? What value, what the things that He said, how important are they to me? How important is it to me this morning that the God of heaven said that he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent Him? That's it. That's just how it is. If you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. And it just, there's so many people that they have this belief system. They say, well, I don't think God will put anybody in hell. I don't think God is that way. I just don't think He is. I don't. And it's a God of their own imagination. It's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. We sent Him. Honoring Him ought to be important to us. Do we honor His work on the cross? Have we confessed our sins and applied the blood of Christ to our lives to wash away our sins so that we can stand before Him? Holy and without blame. Do we honor His word? Do we honor His will? How important is the will of God to me? Do I care? How important is the will? I know there's most of you in here do, but it's questions for us to ask others. How important? Do I honor His will? Lord, you know, we read that here. His testimony was this: I came not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. That's the way He honored His Father. And the Father's looking down and says, do you honor the Son? Do you honor the Son? I know that that's a heart, many of us.
There is in many people's lives. I know from my past and from experience that there is this vague, that God is somehow is vague and there's this lack of clarity about who He is. We're not real sure what He wants from us. We hope that things will turn out okay in the end, but we're not. We'd like for things to turn out well in the end. We'd like to have a hope, but we don't really know God and we don't really know what He wants. And I'd just like for us to, the burden, I guess, of the message this morning is just a simple verse. That if we honor the Son of God, then God is pleased with us. God is for us. God is pleased with us. God is not angry with us. If we bow our knee to the Son of God, we apply the blood of Christ to our life, we make His will our will. His work becomes our work, and we humble ourselves before Him. He's not wanting it to be vague and uncertain, and that we don't know what's happening in our lives. Realize that that probably lacked a lot of clarity, but I trust that the Lord could use that for His glory. God bless you.